Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here to guide us through policy matters when it comes to not only big space, little space, and the add-ons, such as communications, but also the contest with the ESA and other big space organizations who believe that they can find a niche for themselves into the future that is owned right now, my opinion, by SpaceX. Bob, a very good evening to you. Streamlining broadband regulations by the White House. Why do I get this feeling your U.S. government wants to help and it's not going to? What does this mean, Bob? Good evening to you.
Yes, well, I think your skepticism about the government helping is well-founded, and it's wise. Any American should be wise not to trust any government action. But what is it, what has happened here is that the Trump administration, and Trump specifically, has issued a new executive order that cancels many of Biden's executive orders that were imposed on the broadband internet community during the Biden administration. This included regulations imposing net neutrality concepts, which is government redistributing money between customers and companies. It's like really ridiculous. DEI aspects imposed on broadband companies, satellite companies, as well as ground-based internet companies, climate change requirements, and many other things that added paperwork and cost money and time. Those regulations the Biden administration imposed, this Trump executive order cancels completely. And this is, and the most important aspect of the cancellation is the order sets up a system to streamline the environmental review process on a new project. This impacts rocket companies. Because during the Biden administration, especially, well, I will say it had been building for many, many years. But during the Biden administration especially, the environmental review for any project, this big project like a rocket launch site, had become really odious. And in fact, you just simply had to say, well, instead of doing 50 launches a year, we want to do 55. A whole new impact statement was required, which could take months and years even. This new streamlining effort is an attempt to reduce extensively that out-of-control impact, environmental impact statement process. I will point out, during the Biden administration, that had become so odious that it destroyed several rocket companies, American rocket companies, who simply couldn't launch because they couldn't get approvals to launch from their launch sites in the U.S. that the military and NASA had used for decades launching from. But now suddenly, because a new launch company and rocket was going to launch there, they had to do these big environmental statements that just took so long. Many companies just went out of business. This is an executive order, and as we all know, executive orders issued by Democrats are law and must be etched in stone. And executive orders issued by a Republican, those don't count, and judges will block them. So we have no idea how this will play out. But right now, at least, there's an effort by the White House to streamline the situation. This is going to affect things like SpaceX's launch sites in various places, getting them established.
What about the communications part of this? Is this part of their regulations? In other words, the spreading to rural America, that was a big push for many years. Is that part of it?
Yeah, the Biden, there's a program in the federal government to encourage internet to rural areas. And they issued big subsidies to a variety of companies, including SpaceX. Only SpaceX was delivering any service. The Biden administration suddenly decided, for political reasons, obviously, that SpaceX wasn't doing the job, and they retracted that subsidy. Overall, that particular program, based on what it has tried to do, has not actually provided one customer any internet service in rural areas. This regulation is, once again, it's designed to speed that up.
Well, I'm in a rural.
I will point out the subsidies. John, I'm sorry. I would point out that the subsidies are really irrelevant. Private enterprise is doing this job without those subsidies, and I'd rather none of the subsidies paid out. SpaceX doesn't need this money from the government and the taxpayer. We can't afford it.
The puzzle here is I'm in a rural area, and the solution is Starlink, which is pricey. It's pricey. However, subsidizing Starlink would do it. If they targeted
SpaceX would not reduce its price just because it get more money. Nah, I don't believe that. What really will reduce your prices, John, is another company coming in and providing competition. Kuiper is getting launched. The Kuiper constellation is just beginning to get launched. It has the potential for providing alternative product, which would then force the price to drop. That's really the way to do it. The subsidies have not encouraged any of that. It hasn't made any difference at all. What needs to happen is companies like Amazon and OneWeb and the other constellations have to start delivering so that there's competition to SpaceX.
The analogy, Bob, is the subsidy for EVs. You don't give it to the company making it. You give it to the customer buying it. It's a tax abatement. And that's why the EVs are spreading in rural America. Also, I'm thinking that the abatement would be for people, you'd be means tested. People who have little or no coverage whatsoever, Starlink would provide it for them, and the government would spend its money much more effectively on the customer as opposed to the client.
Right now, I'm sorry, I don't buy any of that. That's the arguments I've been hearing for my last half century about how the government can help. But right now, we're bankrupt. We don't need to spend this money. If there are competition in this market, the price will drop and people can afford it. That's how it really works in a capitalist system. Bring in government EVs. You bring up EVs, but EVs are not viable on the marketplace without government subsidies. That means it's not a good product. The government should stay out of the business. That's my opinion. I'm sorry, John.
You acknowledge the fact that that is the governmental case.
Yes, and I'm just saying at this point, we're bankrupt. The government has failed in these matters 100%. It's wasted taxpayer money. It's time to just get out of the business and stop advocating to do it. It just doesn't work.
All right, that's an op-ed, Bob. I was merely... I was going over the facts of the matter right now. Extant. What is the analogy of subsidizing EV. Whether that is worthwhile or not is not the judgment. It's the fact that it's happening. We go now to SLS, Orion, and Lunar Gateway, three subsidized entities. Do they exist, Bob, in the U.S. Senate?
That's a very good question. The Trump administration proposed a budget that would phase out SLS and Orion after the next two launches. In other words, the Trump administration is willing to at least let those launches go on with people on board and willing to risk their lives on a very questionable technical vehicle. The Trump administration also wants to eliminate Lunar Gateway because it really doesn't serve a good purpose, as I have been saying now for more than a decade. Led by Ted Cruz in the Senate, chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee, has introduced a bill that would keep SLS Orion and Lunar Gateway. It would keep SLS and Orion for an additional two launches. Instead of two launches in the future, they want at least four. The amount of cost to do that is gigantic because you'd have to get an second stage, and that isn't done yet. That's billions. You'd have to build a new mobile launcher for that upgraded upper stage. That hasn't been done yet. That's billions. So this is a very expensive proposal. But this is what Senate wants to do. Once again, they're senators. They're idiots. I'm sorry I'm being opinionated here, John, but they're idiots. They think money grows on trees. We are bankrupt. The Trump administration is at least attempting to shift money in places where it might be more effective in space. Private enterprise that gets things done. What Cruz and the Senate here is proposing is let's keep pouring good money after bad for these not very successful programs. It's unfortunate. I have no idea how it'll play out, but it does indicate that the Senate and the Congress are probably not going to allow any cuts to go through, which means we'll continue to be bankrupt.
Lunar Gateway. I missed its fate. How is it launched?
According to the Cruz and the senators, they want to keep it. They want to keep the money being pumped into it. It doesn't serve any purpose. It makes it more difficult to land on the moon. It's only going to be intermittently occupied. There's real questions whether that would even work. It's not a way station to go anywhere, really. That's the problem. It's really never made any sense. Anyway, that's where we stand. They're saying yes to it, and Trump is saying no. We'll see how it plays out.
What I'm asking about is, how does it get there? Is there a launch that's designated?
It was built. All right, that's an interesting question. Some of the components would be some components would be launched on SLS, mostly the Orion capsule. Some of the modules are going to be launched on Falcon Heavy or SpaceX facilities. It has a mixed mixed launch vehicles to get there. But it was created to give SLS a place to go, because SLS as it is underpowered. It doesn't really give you the capability to build a lunar base. So they couldn't use it as like a Saturn V. So instead they created a lunar gateway so it had some place it could go to. It's a junk. It's just junk.
So Lunar Gateway is a hybrid for boosters. It's SLS and Falcon Heavy and Super Heavy?
It was created so that SLS would have some purpose.
Right.
It didn't have any purpose. It was a Senate launch system, as you would call it. It was created as a rocket or pork project to just create jobs. It didn't have any purpose.
Right.
They had no program. So they created Lunar Gateway to give it a purpose. But to build Lunar Gateway, they couldn't use SLS because it's too expensive and takes too long to launch. So they have signed contracts with SpaceX to use its Falcon Heavy to get some of the modules up to Lunar Gateway. Does any of this sound like SLS is really a mess? It does. It doesn't make any sense. John.
Well, except for that's the way the government works with programs. They spread out the treasures. They spread them out, and Texas wants its share of it. All right, we go now to Cape Canaveral Starship Super Heavy site. This sounds regulation-like.
It's connected to it, and this connects to the first story we talked about. The Air Force, under the previous Biden regulations, had to put together an environmental impact statement on SpaceX's proposed Starship Super Heavy launch pads at Cape Canaveral, which the military controls. And so the Air Force has now released its initial draft environmental impact statement, which it goes right down the list and says there will be no significant impact on the environment for having these two launch pads there for Starship Super Heavy. And in fact, it found in some cases would have beneficial impact on the local economy. Surprise, surprise. The only place it found any possibility of any negative consequences is the sonic boom, the noise. Noting that, quote, community annoyance may increase. This is a spaceport that's existed since 1950. Rocket launches have been going there. The whole place knows this is where they make their money. I don't think there'll be many complaints about the noise. So they basically, Air Force has approved the idea of this Starship Super Heavy launch facility at Cape Canaveral. It's got to go through public comment period. There will be, of course, people opposing it. There always are. But either way, it looks like the Air Force, the military, is in favor of letting this get built. And one thing that's interesting is SpaceX is asking to do 76 launches a year of Starship Super Heavy at this location. That's 76. Think about the awesomeness of that number. They really are getting prepped up to do their space program to go to Mars, as Elon Musk has said. That's what they want to do.
The vision that they have in a video I saw some time ago is a field of launch towers for Super Heavy. That's not something that could be built at Cape Canaveral. Is that something that they are projecting at Boca Chica?
No. I'm sure you saw a graphic video, which makes it look more spectacular. The reality is they are building two launch pads at Kennedy. That's what they wanted to build, not Kennedy, at Cape Canaveral. And they have two launch pads at Boca Chica. That gives them four launch pads total for this. It's built as designed, remember. The rockets will launch. The Super Heavy will come back and be caught by the launch tower, lowered into place, ready for refueling and stacking almost immediately within minutes. So even with four launch sites, you conceivably could be launching multiple times a day from these sites if everything goes as planned. To do 76 launches a year doesn't require two launch sites. It's more than sufficient, though, even with the Falcon 9 rockets. They're doing that right now with Falcon 9 with two launch sites in Cape Canaveral. So it's doable. That's the bottom line.
So the video then is a projection, not a fact.
It's a fantasy. Okay. It's one of those public relations things. Based on what you described to me, it sounds like it's one of those public relations things that makes it look more spectacular than it ever would necessarily be. And it doesn't matter because what they're actually doing is pretty spectacular on its own.
All right, Starlink for India. I wonder what the pricing is.
That's a good question. They actually give the pricing in the article I linked to, but it's in Indian dollars, and I didn't convert, so I can't tell you off the top of my head. I imagine it's comparable to in the United States. But once again, India has approved most of the licensing process for SpaceX to sell Starlink in India. There's still some pro forma regulations that have to be approved, but it does appear that within a year they're going to be offering Starlink to anyone in India. And they're going to be focusing once again in rural areas where landlines don't provide this kind of high speed service.
30 seconds for ESA. What are they up to?
This is a government project. ESA, the European Space Agency, put together a program back in 2019 to develop its own Grasshopper to test vertical landing and takeoff of a rocket for reuse. And it was supposed to do its first hops in 22. It's 3 years later. It hasn't done any tests at all. And now they're delaying the first test, till next year instead of this year. This is a government program that's never going to go anywhere, and it's just a joke.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes, my gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dogproof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Woo!
Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS Store. Visit a store today.